Well, let's pray and let's get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. Father, your Word is what we live by. And Father, I thank you for the people that you have given us and the Word that we're able to impart to them. And Father, I pray that every one of them receive from your Spirit this morning. Receive in a wonderful way that will help enhance their life and their walk with you. Holy Spirit, you've worked with me this week, and you've really counseled me on letting your people know how important it is to have you alive in their heart. So, Father, anoint my lips to speak, anoint the ears to hear. And, Father, we know that between the two, much can be accomplished for the kingdom of God. Amen. And amen. We've been doing a couple of Sundays on the Holy Spirit and how important it is to have the Holy Spirit be a part of your life. And sad to say, many people don't know how to really connect with the Holy Spirit and the purpose of making that connection. In the earlier part of my life, my wife can be a witness to what I'm about to tell you, that the first thing that God spoke in my heart was to search Scripture and know everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit. And in doing that, in searching Scripture, I have really been blessed over the years. And God has given me a mentor by the name of Dave Roberson. And I thank God for that man and his life that he has spoken into me. And he has taught me to really respect the position of the Holy Spirit and how to literally enjoy the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. The thing that really bothers me is the importance of understanding the operation or the function of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, like I said before, Jesus in the last part of his life, just before he knew he was going to pass on from this realm to his heavenly realm, he was emphatic on the point that it was needful for him that he goes away, because if he could not go away, then the Holy Spirit would not come. Now, I have a book here called The Archco Volumes. D'Esta's husband, Vince Gold, he's the one, I believe, that first introduced me to this particular book. I don't know whether they're still in print or not. You could probably find out by going on the internet, but they are. They're still in print. And this book I received many years ago, but I read it every year, and I've come to really profoundly enjoy this particular material. And what this material is made up of is basically records that have been drawn out of the archives of the Vatican that have been written hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And so these men got a hold of some of the records and transcribed them. Now, they did it under the guidance of priests, but nowadays I guess you can't even get in there and get a hold of the records anymore. So because people were going in there and they were bringing damage to some of these writings and stuff, you know, because they're on material that easily disintegrates and everything. And so I think the last time you could do this was back in, the early 1900s. I'm not sure. But one of them was the report of Caiaphas that he gave in the book. And Caiaphas, I thought it was very interesting, gave his reasons in one of the reports here of why he had to crucify the Lord Jesus. When I was reading this, then I began to understand why. Later on in the book, you'll also give, you'll run across Caiaphas's report why he had to withdraw as being a priest. And it was amazing, and I've read it to you before right out of this book, how Jesus personally visited Caiaphas. And then as a result of that, according to church history, Caiaphas was saved. Praise God. But Jesus had to. I believe Jesus had, he knew he had to personally visit him because of the position that Caiaphas took. But in Caiaphas's report, why he had to crucify the Lord, when I read this, I began to realize where his mindset was and where he was coming from, and I could understand the grace of God and mercy on mankind that don't know him. And he had three things that was major important that he had to think about, Caiaphas, to do away with Jesus. The first one was his teaching and doctrine that there are more gods than one. See, in the mind of Jew, there's only one God. And which is contrary to the teaching of the Jewish law, which he most positively refused to detest from in the presence of this court. In other words, Jesus elevated himself in the same position as their God. And so they couldn't handle that. The second one was that that he teaches is that he is a God, which is contrary to Jewish law. And he is a visible and comprehensible, and after being asked to detest by this court, he most positively affirms that he is a son of God. They couldn't handle that. And the third thing that was very interesting, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit, he teaches and affirms that the bath coal, the Holy Spirit, cannot come until he goes away, which is contrary to the teaching of the Jews, because it was he that brooded over the waters and has been in the habitual light of the world ever since, from all of which he refuses to detest. He also teaches baptism as a seal of God instead of circumcision, which was established by the decrees of God with Abraham as a seal of the Jews. And when adjured to detest by this court, declared he would not. And so, I could go on and on and read all the other arguments, but when I was reading this report, it finally dawned on me how mankind, when Jesus appeared as the Son of God, how mankind could not comprehend that light. And so I'm always of the firm belief, I'm a real strong believer in the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But in spite of the ministry gifts and the anointing from which they stand in, I still have to be my own personal life still has to be accountable to the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life, just like it has to be a part of your life, in spite of me as your pastor. Because if I'm preaching what is truth from the scriptures of God's word, the Holy Spirit in you will bear witness with it or will refute it. But you see, the responsibility is still up to you to have the Holy Spirit active in your heart and life. Amen? Because you know what? That position that the Holy Spirit takes is a very important position. We're talking about it in 1 John on Wednesday nights. And we're talking about that inward anointing that is found in our heart. Well, first of all, let's take a look at one of the issues that Caiaphas had. Let's go to John chapter 7. And let's look at a statement that Jesus made that Caiaphas himself had a hard time with. In John, Big John, not First John, chapter 7, let's go to verse 37. John 7:37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so there's where Caiaphas had the hard time about Jesus saying, "It is important that I go, for if I do not go, the Holy Spirit will not come." And scriptures clarify that in several places, especially in the Synoptic Gospels. But people, I'm going to say something else that some of you might have a hard time with, and others maybe you already agreed with it. But I do believe that being born of the Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit is two separate, distinct acts. They are not one and the same, but they are two separate, distinct acts. And we find another passage in Acts chapter 8. Go over to Acts chapter 8. Because I want to give you scripture for what I'm saying. Because scripture has to be clarified in anything that we believe. Look at verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And of course, we understand what had happened. He had a great move of God, and miracles were performed, and unclean spirits were crying out and coming out of people. But notice verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles, signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. In another passage, it says that they actually heard them speak with other tongues as they prayed for them. Now, one thing that the enemy cannot stand is tongues. And when you get with other believers, you'll have an okay time fellowshipping with them. But when you come down to the issue of speaking in tongues, I don't know whether you've encountered it or not, but I've encountered a division, a wall instantly comes up with people that are fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord over the issue of speaking in tongues. I've heard ministers preach that it is not necessary, that it was done away with when the last apostle died. Well, we know where that doctrine comes from. It doesn't come from the kingdom of God, I guarantee you. It comes from the witness of men. That's why John the Beloved, the apostle, when he put in 1 John, he says, if you receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And he was referring to the Holy Spirit. And you know, when I was first saved, I desired the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I had people say it was not necessary when I got born again. I received the Holy Spirit or I couldn't have got born again. But people, that is not true. The book of Acts did not take place just because it was a happening for the 120 that was in the upper room. It was a beginning that would follow through for all of us as believers. How many of you remember the day you got baptized in the Holy Spirit? How many of you remember that? Didn't you guys get happy about it? Wasn't you excited about it? Man, I was so turned on. I had to get off all by my little self and hear myself speak in tongues and giggle. But at first, when I first got to the point where I was speaking in tongues, To be honest with you, I was expecting my tongue to be illuminated with light. And I expected a jolt of electricity or something to come and hit my tongue and make me speak in tongues. But when I did speak in tongues, this thought came to me, is that just me or is that just gibberish? I mean, have any of you ever had that thought? Blah, 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 blah. I mean, it kind of took the old pizzazz out of it for a second there because, my gosh, I could have done that when I got saved. If it's all that simple, you know. And so I was disillusioned there for a moment, but just for a moment. But then I ran across Dave Roberson. That was a divine appointment of the Lord. And he was getting all this insight to Scripture, and I couldn't figure out where he was getting it from. And finally it dawned on him one day he was getting this insight from speaking in tongues. And when he got that revelation, that was a major step. Not only for him, but for me. Because I got a hold of that, and then later on, Dave did a series called Meditation, Imagery, and Delivery. And when I got a hold of those tapes, I went, my gosh. I mean, he plugged me into the Word of God that was incredible. And I began to realize how important it was for speaking in tongues. Now, let me say this. When you speak in tongues, it might be as simple as you thinking that you're doing it, but really it's not. It's formed by the Holy Spirit in you. In the upper room, it said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then it gave a description of what took place in the room. What took place in that room was a cloven tongues of fire had lit or set upon the head of each one of them. And did you know that God is very symbolic to us? Because God's there and we're here. And for us to understand Him there, He has to give us types and shadows to understand it here. And so when they had received cloven tongues of fire, I had not really plugged into the meaning of that type until further in my walk, even as a pastor of this church, I began to grow complacent and indifferent towards the things of God. Matter of fact, it got to a place where I was getting discouraged in my walk with the Lord because it seemed like I'd tapped into all the knowledge that is in the Word of God for me. How stupid that was to think that way, because now I cannot open the Bible without finding a more depth and enrichment to the Word of God that before I only knew it surfacely. But now I know it deeper than just my head. I know it now in my heart. Praise God. But I said all that to say this, that in the times when I would grow complacent or indifferent with the Lord in my life, my wife, my beautiful wife, is a testimony of this. She'll tell you, I'd always get off in the backside of my prayer closet and begin to speak in tongues. Now, I didn't just speak in tongues only. I spoke in my own language as well. But I made a decision to give myself to speaking in tongues at that time, 2 hours a day. And I needed to do that because of the place I was in. You know, sometimes when you let the Lord just kind of just slip by your life, you're just going on in life and you just let Him begin to slip by, and you get into that place where you're so complacent and you just don't have a desire for the things of God. And every one of us have had that in our life. There isn't a one of you here that cannot say that's never been there. Can I hear an amen? I'm preaching real good now. Because I'm preaching right down where you guys are living. And so I would get off and I would just know within myself, I got to do something with myself. I got to kick myself in the butt. I got to do something about it. And so one day, I been several months and I was praying in tongues and it just seemed like, man, I was trying to eat sand. It was so discouraging. But all of a sudden, one day I woke up and I had this fire going on in my heart. Man, I was a blaze with the Spirit, and I was excited, and it was a joy again. I got this fire back. Do you know I went through that 3 different times in my life? 3. And finally it dawned on me the last time. I said, God, what can I do to prevent me from slipping back into that place? He said, be consistent with the Spirit. Pray in tongues. Walk with Him on a daily basis. It's funny how some believers will get the Holy Spirit and then we forget He's even with us. That's why the beloved John said, let that therefore abide in you, which you had from the beginning. And then when you get over into John chapter 15, you find out where the beginning was. The beginning when they heard about the Holy Spirit. Because that's what it said there. And God said, I'm going to give you a little key secret of why you always pull yourself out of that dry place. Why you always get that fire going back in you. And I said, Well, show me. He says, go over to the book of Acts and read Acts chapter 2 again. I went over there and read Acts chapter 2. And when I got down to the cloven tongues of fire, the Lord said, praying in tongues will put a fire back in you. I went, whoa, you mean to tell me the reason you gave the illustration of that little flame above all their heads is you were saying that when you pray in tongues, it puts a fire in you? Yep, amen. Right. Somebody had gotten a hold of my teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and everything, and she wrote me a letter. She attended another church, I forgot where. And she says, ever since I got a hold of the understanding of praying in tongues, she said, I heard from everybody it wasn't that necessary. And if you got it, enjoy it. But she said that you speak to God with those tongues and you leave your intellect out of it and it puts a fire in you. She says, I just want to let you know, Pastor Jan, I'm speaking in tongues and I'm alive again. I'm on fire for the kingdom of God. And I want to let you know, I thank you for your message because I'm on fire for the kingdom of God. And I'm speaking in tongues. Glory to God. Boy, that fires you up. Makes you feel like a muscle man. Woo! That's why Paul said, some of you, when you see me in the natural, you think I'm weak and contemptible. My speech isn't good. He said, but I want you to know that you have at least said my messages are weighty. In the Greek, that means full of power, full of vitamins. It gives you something to grow strong with. Now, the Corinthian church, they're a funny bunch because they were probably one of the most spiritual you could come across. But they got so spiritual that they went overboard, turned everybody off with their spirituality. And I have run across many believers that do not like those who speak in tongues because of the witness that they give. What is there about us that when we get so spiritually free, we become idiots? What is that about us? Why do we do that? Well, I've learned that just because somebody speaks in tongues and their life does not bear the witness that it should, it ain't gonna hinder me at all for speaking in tongues. I love the language of my spirit. Praise God. And when I get along with the Lord every once in a while, I just thank Him for that beautiful language because it is a language that God performed on my life the same thing He did at the Tower of Babel. He took a language and gave it to them apart from their own understanding so they wouldn't destroy themselves.
Right.
Hallelujah. You're speaking in tongues. The reason you can do it is because the Holy Spirit is down in your heart forming that language there so that you can talk to God on a level that it far exceeds your own understanding. And the reason He gave us that language is so that we could on purpose succeed in our walk with Him. And the only way you're going to succeed in your walk with Him is that He has to get you delivered of yourself first. And how is He going to do that? He has to find a way for you to communicate to God apart from your inner life. That's why you become so ablaze or on fire when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. That's what does it. It's that language. I'm telling you, people, if you leave here today and you go home, just pray for 30 minutes in tongues. And you'll feel lightened. You'll feel refreshed. You'll feel like I'm just not where I'm normally at. You know? Because that's what happened. Every time I get in my prayer closet and pray in the Holy Ghost, and I'm in there for any amount of time, I do feel different. I feel like I'm in a different realm. It's because I am. Praise the Lord. Now, June, you're a blessing. I'll tell you, I love June. She is such a blessing. But when she gets frustrated, she will crack you up. I go into the office the other day. I didn't know what it was. I wanted to get some information from her. And she's on this phone and she finally hangs up. She gets up. She says, I am so fed up with that. Oh, if I hear that stuff. I said, June, what is wrong with you? She said, these people, they're the same ones that call every year. They're depressed. They're full of fear. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to come to. She says, what is that all about? It's the same people all the time. Seems like they get a clue. And I said, June, you got to remember, these people don't know the Holy Ghost. Have you ever run across somebody who says, nothing's working for me? Have you ever run across believers like that? I lost my job. I'm not able to find another. There's sickness in my family. My wife, my husband is extremely depressed. Can't find what the Lord has in store for them. People coming against them all the time. One catastrophe after another all the time. Well, what is the Lord trying to tell me? And you as a pastor, you sit there and say, man, Lord, what's your problem with them? You know, you want to pray and say, Lord, what can I tell them? What direction? Because after you get through listening to some people, you get to the point where you go, man, what good is the Lord? It just seems like you can't give them an answer where they'll tell you it won't work. Have you ever run across people like that? You have, John? John Cook has run across people like that? I asked the Lord one day, I said, Lord, I need to start giving these people some answers. Can you help me? And the Lord says, I can help you, son. I said, good, help me. He says, I'd like to give them some answers too. I said, what? He says, I'm going to tell you something. He says, when John the Apostle said, don't be concerned about praying for those that are sinning a sin unto death, but pray for those who are missing the mark and yet can still hear me. You can pray for them. But some people, he says, you just can't pray for them. Because if you pray for them, I'm obligated to speak to them off of your prayers. And if they won't listen to me, how am I going to listen to you to tell them anything? You know, some believers have an uncanny ability to pride themselves in the fact that they don't know how to hear God. And my Bible tells me, when the Holy Spirit is part of your life, you can hear God. Every one of you can hear God. The problem is that when God does speak, you don't want to hear what He has to say. Well, how do you know that? Because I've been there. I'm not preaching something to you I haven't done myself. I mean, there are some things that God has told me that I'm not interested in Him telling me. I heard this story one time, this joke. It was very interesting. This guy got out of his car because he had a flat tire, and it was pitch black out. And he went to walk around the car to change the tire, and he was so pitch black he couldn't see a foot, and he fell down the side of a hill. I know what that's like. And he's snatching and grabbing. He finds a branch and he's hanging on. And he's saying, is there anybody up there? There's no answer. And he said, oh my gosh, I don't know how long I can hang on here. And he yells up there again, Lord, what must I do? And the Lord said, let go. And the guy said, anybody else up there? So he got to the point he couldn't hold on to the branch any longer. He let go and he dropped a foot. Some of us are hanging on that mountain for everything that we can. And God's saying, let go of that thing. And we hang on till we can't hang on any longer. And God is trying to talk to us. We just don't know how to hear His voice. Now, in John chapter 16, verse 13, I know I Greeked you a little bit there, but the tense, the voice, and the mood of a scripture can tell you a lot. And when I saw that, whatever he hears, that he will speak, and he will not initiate any speaking until what? Until he hears something or something takes place, and then he will speak off of what he hears. That's what that verse says. Let's go there to John 13, because I want to get this point back across to you, and then we're going to stop. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is this teaching on the Holy Spirit helping a lot of you a little bit? You know, I just don't want to keep going over and over things unless it's fruitful for you. But notice what he says here in John chapter 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And again, I remember I told you I was looking at this verse, meaning simply a prophetic thing. In other words, he's going to speak and show you things that are going to come. In this verse, the tense voice and mood, when I saw it, when I was reading it out of my interlinear, I went into shock, because this particular scripture is not referring to a prophetic thing that is to come. He was this type of action means that when you and I make a decision, a thought, or when we speak or we make a decision to do something, that's when the Holy Spirit will speak off of that action. It is a present action, and he will speak, and when he says, and he'll show you things to come, he will begin to speak to you because of the decision you're presently making as to the outcome of it. Amen. Isn't that good news? That's what we call the aorist indicative active. It means as a result of present action, the Spirit then is initiated to speak to you. Don't tell me you cannot hear the Holy Ghost. Because some of you have made good decisions and some of you made bad decisions, but I guarantee you, you're not going to stand before God and say, well, I just didn't hear the Holy Spirit. No, that's contrary to the Word of God. Matter of fact, in John chapter, 9, 8 or 9, he says, my sheep hear my voice. He said, yeah, chapter 10. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. Amen. See? And so when you get a hold of people that just seemingly, you can't give them an answer for anything, people, it is not God's problem. It is the people, the recipient, that has got the problem. I had some things come to light in certain people's lives over the years that I began to notice that the same type of attitude, same type of people, I found them to be liars. I find them to be in unforgiveness. I find them to steal. I find all kinds of these things come out of their life. And people, I'm going to give you a revelation. You need to write this down. Are you ready? The thing that will help you to understand when people seem to have these kind of problems is because, are you ready? It's because they are not being righteous in their life. I'm not pointing it out to you guys, because you're all here, you're perfect. But this is going to be a heavy revy. Do you know that God does not bless unrighteousness? God blesses righteousness. It is the righteous that are blessed. I know, ouch. How many of you have done something you know that God told you not to do and you did it anyway and you wish you hadn't? How many of you ever done that? I got both my hands up. Casey Treat said something one time, I wish I'd have thought of it. He says, I need shoes made out of peppermint. Because he's always put his foot in his mouth. I said, I can bear witness to that. Of course, I wouldn't want mine made out of peppermint. I have another preference. Winter green is my thing. No, when you have communication with God, Listen, the Holy Spirit will not leave you lost and confused. Because Jesus said, when He comes, He will glorify me. For He'll take of mine and show it unto you. You know, a lot of times when believers choose to worry and choose to be in fear, it's because they lack a trust in the Lord. You know, listen, people, this world, to be honest with you, it doesn't have all that much called promising right now. Amen. It doesn't have much called promising. But you know, there's a place Jesus can take you in your heart. He'll take you right there in your heart. And He'll give you such peace even though turmoil is shattering your little realm. And He'll give you peace. I've seen it. I've seen a peace that's far beyond natural man in people. And when they learn that peace, it's incredible how they can control their environment when they're at peace. A testimony about William Branham. He used to be a forest ranger, didn't he? Yeah, and he got into this field and he started to cross this field. And he got about in the middle of this fenced field. And he heard some noise and he turned around. This bull is charging at him full force. And William Branham knew there was no escape. So what he did is he went, Mr. Bull, I'm sorry I crossed your domain. I want you to forgive me. If I'd have known you were here, I would have asked your permission. But seeing how I'm here now and a lot of bulls coming my way, I just want to say I love you and forgive me for trespassing. And that bull came full charge right up to him and stopped, sniffed around him, and walked off. Now, people, I would tell you, that's learning how to be at peace. That's learning how to be at peace. That's learning how to be at peace. Hallelujah. If it had been me, I'd have been gone. No, I can outrun that bull. I don't care what anybody said. Hallelujah. It is so important to pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. Give yourself. If you can't, if you have a real tight schedule, do it driving in your car. And even on the job, pray a little bit in the Spirit. Now, don't pray out loud, really loud for everybody to hear it, because some people think you're crazy. Boy, I've been in that situation in airplanes where I screamed out in tongues. Not thinking of the person next to me until after the plane lands, you know. One lady, she reached over, and remember that plane? Sir, what language were you speaking in? I went, tongues! She goes, oh. We were in one of them kind of flights. You ever been in one of them kind of flights? You don't want to be in one of them kind of flights. Them kind of flights is, ooh, Rushikera Baharu. Okay, stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank You for the wonderful Holy Spirit as He's such a part of our life. Father, I pray that when Your people leave here today, that Father, they just take a few moments and pray in the Spirit. Father, if there be anybody here that doesn't pray another tongue, we want to pray for them. If they're withholding that beautiful language, Father, we want to lay hands on them to free them up. And Father, it is important to pray in that heavenly language because it is the voice of their spirit. Father, not their intellect, their spirit. And how important it is. It's not an option, Father, for today. It's an absolute must. And so, Father, put it in people's hearts this morning that have not been real fluent with their tongue to to begin to really pray in the Spirit. It'll do something to their heart. I don't know how to explain it to them, Father, only You know. I don't know what puts a fire in me when I do it. I just know that I'm entrusted to do it, and it's You that puts the fire there with it. And so, Holy Spirit, speak to people's hearts as we dismiss this service this morning. And whoever would like prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or would just like prayer for us to come into agreement that You'll reignite that beautiful language in you, then may today be different for you in Jesus' name. Having said that, you're dismissed.